Welcome to Variant Frequencies. Month to month, our podcast brings you fiction stories from a different channel. Sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and some odd bands in between. Visit us at www.variantfrequencies.com.
Hello, I'm Rick Stringer. This is the third of three flash fiction stories that we are running in a row. Each of them appeared in DZ Allen's Muzzle Flash. You will find the links in our show notes. This story is written by Matt Wallace and narrated by Nan Worthington. Maidenhead by Matt Wallace. Even the dirtiest business can produce something immaculate.
They dial Maidenhead because they want to drive virgin snow. At their age, it's the only taboo left. That they're chasing ute, hoping that breath of life on their shriveled cocks will translate. The going rate is $100,000. Almost any ethnic preference doable. All girls guaranteed between 18 and 25. All hymens certified unbroken. They open an e-bank account, and as soon as the bosses get the pin, I get text. My gig isn't a girl, it's her honeypot. I'm a human chastity belt. I sit on that cherry like a mother hen until somebody pays to hatch it. I bodyguard virtue. It almost makes me feel noble. Until game day, that is. Isabel came from Maryland County in southeastern Liberia. Just a kid from a bad part of the world, cursed with easy on dies. She told me that back there they got something like 20 cops for 100,000 people. She told me her father fixed wagons and built crates on a rubber plantation until warlords torched the whole thing. She told me she never had a boyfriend. I usually don't ask questions like that. I usually don't ask questions. But ever since her exam, I've been interested. Our Cuban expatriate house doctor confirmed she was a virgin. He also confirmed she was pregnant. The bosses stopped listening after the first part. Me, my hearing ain't that select. As I watched Isabeau shimmy down the sawed-off barrel of a satin dress, the motion sexy because she had no idea what sexy was, the whispering in the back of my brain got louder and louder. I was raised Episcopalian, born-again realist, and practicing couldn't give a fuck. But this was some weird shit. Isabeau's client turned out to be a kraut, who looked like my third-grade teacher. His bodyguards were a couple of ex-Special Forces commandos. One of them had the beret badge tattooed on his wrist. The look she gave me from the bedroom as the kraut closed the door could have lasted from the first time I felt my mother's lips on my tiny bald head to the last worm nipping at my bloated corpse. But it is funny how you measure time in moments like that. My next decision, for example, took from the tip of an unfiltered camel to about half an inch above the ring. Wrist tattoo mime smoking and gave me the German word for cigarette. Well, I leaned in to spark a light for him. I took one measured step behind his heel. Then I dug my shoulder into his back and jammed him against his partner, trapping Commando 2 between tattoo and the wall. The shiv was already in my hand and I sunk it deep. I had my other hand cupped under Tattoo's chin, mashing his mouth into fish lips. When he brought up all the blood flooding his popped lung, it sprayed Commando 2 in his eyes, his mouth, up his nose. I used the ship's handle to spin Tattoo away from me. I thought I'd have another second, but Commander Two's reaction time was live. He drew and fired blind. I crouched, spun, and pulled my burner. The first slug must have just grazed his liver, but the second one sent him to meet his Nazi forefathers. I'd been hoping to keep it quiet at first. When I busted the bedroom door, all I saw at first was Isabeau hugging her knees between the bed and the wall, still mostly dressed. I turned too late, and the crouch swiped at me with a straight razor, slicing a frown into my side. He wasn't strong, but the blade was sharp. I hammered the butt of my burner down his nose. He must have been more frail than he looked, because when his head jerked back, I heard that piece of spine in his neck snap. Maybe whoever sold Isabeau to the bosses pimped her out for some of those black market eugenics experiments you read about in Newsweek first. I don't know. But I'm real interested in what pops out of that oven 9 months from now. It's longer than I've ever been able to hold on to that noble feeling anyway.
Thank you for listening to Maidenhead by Matt Wallace, narrated by Nan Worthington. One more thing. Matt Wallace and I will be guests at Balticon in Baltimore, Maryland from May 25th through May 28th, 2007. If you're going to Balticon and want to get together, send me a note at variantfrequencies@gmail.com. To find out more about Variant Frequencies, please go to our website at www.variantfrequencies.com. If you like Variant Frequencies, tell your friends about us. Thank you. From the Variant Frequencies team, Matt Wallace, Anne Stringer, and Rick Stringer.
Did you come to Earth for the music and stay for the science fiction? Join a guided tour of the minds that make science fiction great. Get on our cosmic double-decker tour bus at www.balticonpodcast.org and see all the sights. Coming up on our right, Time Shifted for your viewing pleasure, are fascinating interviews with writers, fans, and scientists. Streaming in on our left are author readings, con-going tips, and essays. And at the end of the tour, there's always more of that great music that brought you here in the first place. So climb aboard, strap in, and hold on to your petty palps. It's the Balticon Podcast Tour to the ends of space and time.
www.balticonpodcast.org